Blog Talk Radio.
Amen. To God be the glory. We give God praise for this evening, Word Wednesday. In the name of Jesus, we're going to pray before we begin tonight's lesson. We believe by faith that God is going to meet us as He always does on these Word Wednesdays. Heaven and earth will pass away, but God's word will remain forever. So we thank it, count it a privilege and an honor to receive God's word. Faith comes by hearing and hearing through the word of God. So as you grow spiritually, as you mature in the things of God, we know that His word will not come back void, but it will accomplish what He sent it to do. So we thank God for you who are here, those that will call in throughout the night. We thank God for you. Let us pray. Father, we thank you for tonight. We thank you for the lesson prepared. We thank you for your word, your logos word, your written word. Now, God, give us revelation. Give us insight. Give us, in the name of Jesus, understanding of your word, that it may add to our lives, that it may enrich our lives, that it may build and strengthen our spiritual self, in the name of Jesus. So, God, we thank you and we give you praise for your word. Hallelujah. So, Lord, bless this lesson tonight. Bless our time together tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Hallelujah. To God be the glory. To God be the glory. We are going to start in Proverbs chapter number 3. We're going to go back to Genesis 11 and 12, but we're going to start in Proverbs chapter number 3. Even throughout the day, God told me I would start here to really lay a foundation of where we're going tonight. And you'll see from this first Proverbs chapter number 3 what the title is and why we are talking from this topic tonight. Let me read first. Proverbs 3, verse number 1. And it says, Proverbs chapter 3, verse number 1. I pray you are there. My son, forget not my law, but let thine heart keep my commandments. For length of days and long life and peace shall they add to thee. Let not mercy and truth forsake thee. Bind them about thy neck. Write them upon the table of thy heart. So shall thy find favor, thank you, Jesus, and good understanding in the sight of God and man. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not into your own understanding. In all of your ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct your paths. Be not wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. It shall be health to thy navel and marrow to thy bones. Honor the Lord with the substance and with the first fruits of all of your increase. So shall thy barns be filled with plenty, and thy presses shall burst out with new wine. Tonight I'm talking, and it fits this proverb, and I guess that's why God led me there. Tonight I'm talking from this subject, letting go and letting God. Letting go and letting God. And as we see in the Proverbs, trust in the Lord with all your heart, lean not into your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He will direct your paths. We quote that a lot. We know it. Many of us have memorized it. And it is scriptural. It's in the Bible. It's something that we should be doing and need to do. But this scripture is easier said than done to accomplish. That's why when I'm talking about letting go and letting God, God wants us to get so built up in our spiritual man that we can live out what we just read in Proverbs chapter number 3. Because by nature, if you're anything like me, or I see myself outside of the things of God, and many people who don't want to live for God or who don't want to come to God, they have sort of made up their mind that I'm going to live this life independent of God. In other words, I want to stay in control of my life. Glory, help us God. And many of us, if the truth is to be told, we like being in control and we like being in charge, We kind of like making our own decisions, and then we go to God when we need God. Because he said, lean not into your own understanding, and that's a challenge sometimes because our own understanding has gotten us certain answers. It has gotten us out of certain situations. Our own knowledge and our common sense and our experiences have done certain things to add to our lives. It hasn't been all bad as we use our own intuition, our own experience, our own brain, our own knowledge, our own intellect. That's not what he's saying. He's not saying that we should take the scripture literally. Because the Bible says right here, acknowledge him in all of your ways. Does that mean, God, what should I wear today? What should I eat today? God, what you know, it's not that detail, it's not that literal, but he is saying that we need to come to God and acknowledge him, not just when we need him, but go to God on the constant. We talked about that on Sunday. Just talking to God, communion with God, just having conversations with God and dialoguing with God and waiting to hear back from God. He says, honor the Lord with the substance and be not wise in your own eyes. It's one thing when people edify you and people encourage you and people build you up, but some people who are sort of high-minded and conceited, they pat themselves on the back, and God is saying sometimes we got to walk in a little more humility for those who are kind of puffed up. It's great to have confidence in what you've learned, but the scripture is saying that we are to trust God because he said length of days and long life will it add to you. He said you'll find favor with God and with man if you do these things, and I want that. So when we're talking about letting go and letting God, we're going to see Abraham and Sarah and as they journey to the land of Canaan. A lot of things happened on this journey, kind of like in our life, a lot of ups and downs, a lot of mountain and valley experiences, a lot of good and bad. And sometimes when we say it all works together for our good, we must trust that scripture because the enemy is trying to oppose what God wants to do in our lives. So let's go and see how Sarah and Abraham begin to let go and let God, along with some other scriptures that we'll see tonight in the name of Jesus. So we were just in Proverbs, and we were saying that God wants surrender. God wants us to submit. God wants us to hand over our will for his will. And I just said at the outset, that's easier said than done. It's not easy, but it is possible. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. It is possible for us to submit to the will of God. Because Jeremiah 29:11, he said, I know the thoughts I think towards you. So we have to line up with the plan of God and the will of God. Genesis 11, I'm just going to look at a little bit of the first part because I really want to get to the bottom of Genesis 11. But this is what we're talking about, how we like to be in charge and how we like to sometimes be in control. It says it right here in Genesis 11. Let's start at verse 3. And they said one to another, go to let us make brick and burn them thoroughly. And they had for stone and slime, they had for mortar. And they said, go to let us build us a city and a tower whose top may reach up into the heaven. And let us make a name, lest we be scattered abroad upon the face of the whole earth. And the Lord came down to see the city. God knew the work that they were doing, and it was progressing. I tell you, they were making progress. They were doing something that was fascinating, so much so that God came down to witness what they were doing. And the tower which the children of the men built it. And the Lord said, behold, the people is one, and they have all one language. And this they began to do, and now nothing, this is God speaking, nothing will be restrained from them which they have imagined to do. That's how powerful the human being is. That's how powerful God, he created us in his image, and he know even without him, There's a certain degree of advancement. There's a certain degree of progress. There's a certain amount of success we can achieve even in our own strength. Come on, somebody. Because God wired us. God made us. God designed us. He said, let us make man in our image and in our likeness. Now, he wants all human beings, everybody, everyone born. He wants all of us to come to him and submit to him and surrender to him. But that's not going to happen. The Bible says God wished that no man perish, but that all will repent. But as we see here, while some people would like to be in control and stay in control because they feel as though life is going pretty good, them being independent of God. So I wanted to make that point as we're talking about letting go and letting God, why it's so hard for some people. When you invite them to church, they're like, oh, no, I ain't going to church. I'm not tithing. I'm not giving. I'm not praying. I'm not serving. Because what they're saying is that I don't want to give in. I don't want to do it God's way. I don't want to surrender my being in charge for God being in control of my life. But life is so much better with God. I'm telling you, I've seen it. The first 30 years, I didn't have God. The last 25 years or so of my life, I had God. And I can tell you, through comparison, as he has given me 55 years of life, life is so much sweeter. So much sweeter and better with the Lord. When you go through, he's carrying you through. When pressure and you get overwhelmed and you don't, there's sometimes you don't know what to do. There's sometimes you are overwhelmed. There's sometimes the pain is enormous and great. The disappointment and the failure is big. The mistake is major. But when you have God, thank you, Jesus, when you have God, life is so much better. Because he promises us if we do live 80, that's 70, 80, 90 years of life. That's going to be the average for most. And I just thank God as he give us years and opportunity and chances to accomplish our dreams and our goals and walk our daughters down the aisle and hold our grandchildren and our great-grandchildren, travel and see some of this world. As we begin to do some things with our lives and we retire and we begin to do things and go to the movies and go to concerts and have a good time and have fun and laughter, it's just so amazing how life is so much sweeter with God. Let's look at Genesis chapter number 11 now. Go down to verse number 26. We're looking at Abraham's father first, and then we're going to go right into how Abraham and Sarah begin to let go and let God. But let's look at what Abraham was birthed from. Genesis 11, verse number 26. And Terah lived 70 years, and he begot Abram. His name was not yet Abraham. He begot Abram, Nahor, and Haran. Now, these are the generations of Terah. That's Abraham's father. Terah begot Abram, Nahor, and Haran, and Haran begot Lot. That's Lot's father. We know about Lot. Haran was Lot's father. And Haran died, Lot's father died, before his father Terah in the land of Nativity in Ur of Chaldees. And Abram and Nahor, they took themselves wives. The name of Abram's wife was Sarai, and the name of Nahor's wife, Milcah, and the daughter of Haran, the father of Milcah, and the father of Iscah. But Sarai was barren. She had no children. And Terah took Abram, his son, and Lot, the son of Haran, his son's son, and Sarai, his daughter-in-law, his son Abram's wife, and they went forth, them from the Ur of Chaldees to go into the land of Canaan. Now, they already headed to Canaan. I don't know if God spoke to Terah. I don't know how he began to head toward the land of Canaan, but that's where they're going. And they came to Haran and dwelt there. Verse 32, and the days of Terah were 205 years, and Terah died in Haran. Abraham's father died on their way to Canaan. Sarai, his wife, is barren. Lot is with them. Remember, he brings Lot with him as they journey. And this is Abram's beginning. And God, even through this text that I just read, there are some people who has brought us to a certain point. And there's some companies and some organizations that brought us to a certain point. And God is saying sometimes, hallelujah, thank you, Jesus, we got to even let go and let go of some of that stuff. Amen. I'll never forget my first automobile, my first car, was from my best friend, Donnell. And he became a resource in that season because I had not a lot of money. I needed an automobile. We made a deal with no money down. I was making payments to him, and he was working with me. Guess what? He was a resource given to me by God in that season. Amen. And now in this season in my life, it's been a long time since I've seen my best childhood friend. I don't need him as a resource right now, but in that season, he was a blessing. Come on. And sometimes we hold on, and God is saying sometimes letting go and letting God involves a lot of different areas of our life, as we're going to see as we start to read Genesis chapter number 12 now. Now the Lord said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house into the land that I show thee, and I will make thee a great nation, and I will bless thee and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. I will bless them that bless thee and curse them that curse. All the families of the earth shall be blessed. So Abram departed as the Lord has spoken unto him. And Lot went with him, and Abram was 75 years old when he departed out of Haran. And Abram took Sarai, his wife, and Lot, his brother's son, and all the substance that he had gathered, and the souls of they that had gotten in Haran. And they went forth to go into the land of Canaan, and to the land of Canaan they came. God has given Abram instruction to leave everything you're familiar with, let that go, and let me, God, lead you from this point on. God says, I'm going to take it from here. So let go and let God take it from here. That was hard for Abram to do, but he knew the voice of God. He knew God had came to him and gave him instruction and gave him a promise that I'm going to bless those that bless you. I'm going to curse those that curse you. God is saying to us, even through that, there are certain people that are going to be a blessing to you and your life throughout the course of your life. There are periodically times where people will give you a job. People will give you a handout. People will show you favor. People will give you mercy. People will be kind to you. People will come alongside and help you. There are some people that will serve you because God has ordained it before the foundations of this world. And sometimes when we quit and go back, we don't partake of what God has ahead of us because God has already ordained and predestined for people to be a blessing to us as we move forward by faith. Hallelujah. God wants to bless us, but we have to stay in the will of God. Amen? Amen. And now let's look, because sometimes when we obey God, things happen. I heard some people give a testimony that when they got saved, with me, it was good and bad. When I got saved, a lot of things start to, wow, a lot of favors start to happen. A lot of good things start to happen. A lot of positive things begin to happen. Along with that, I think I said it last week or when I was preaching one time, along with that, there's some things from my past that did not try to let me go and let me go free. There's some phone calls I used to get. There's some buddies that used to try to call me back. There's some temptations that tried to call me back. There's some situations that did not want to let me go. But I just kept moving forward by faith. And along the way, God gave me signs that I was headed in the right direction. I used to drive to the church by myself. I was a new believer. And one time I was going to a Bible study, and they had a funeral instead. And the church was empty, big old church, it was empty. And our assistant pastor, Pastor Glover Williams, was there. And I'm walking in the church, and she's walking out ready to close the doors and cut the lights out. And she said everything was canceled. We thought we contacted everyone. We emailed, we made phone calls. She said, but you know what? God is going to bless you if you keep pressing your way to the things of God. And I remember that conversation like it was today. She said, God is going to give you a special blessing if you continue to press your way toward the things of God. And I don't know why she said that. I know now because the Lord was leading her to say that. But it's so powerful how God gives us clues along our journey. I was a baby Christian, and this pastor took time out to have a conversation with me. Those are not the only words she shared with me, but that's what stood out. And I'm so glad that God sent me encouragement along the way. But we're going to look at this Abraham and Sarah journey a little bit in a little bit more detail. Let's look at verse number 10, and you'll see what I say. Sometimes it's good and sometimes it's bad when we let go and let God, but all things will work together for your good in the end. Amen. Verse 10 says, and there was a famine in the land. And Abram went down into Egypt to sojourn there, for the famine was grievous in the land. This was a serious famine. I mean serious. Everything was dry. There was no food, no water. It was a great famine. And it came to pass when he was come near to go into Egypt that he said to Sarai, his wife, behold now, I know that thou art a fair woman to look upon. Therefore it shall come to pass when the Egyptians shall see thee, that they shall say, this is his wife, and they will kill me, but they will save thee alive. Say, I pray thee, thou art my sister, that it may be well with me for thy sake, and my soul shall live because of thee. Verse number 14, and it came to pass that when Abram was coming to Egypt, the Egyptians beheld the woman, that she was very fair. The princes also told Pharaoh as they saw her and commended her before Pharaoh. And the woman was taken into Pharaoh's house. And he entreated Abraham, that means he blessed Abraham, well for her sake. And he had sheep, he had oxes, he had donkeys, he had men servants and maid servants, he had camels. He had all this he gave Abram for Sarah. And God told me to tell you, even as I read that, tell my people to know how valuable they are. Hallelujah. Thank you, God. Sarah is 60 years old at this stage. The Bible says she was fair to look upon. She was pretty. She was nice to look at. And Pharaoh and Pharaoh's men and all the Egyptians looked at Sarai and they took her. But the Bible says because of her price, Abram was made rich. He got slaves. He got animals. He got so much wealth simply because Pharaoh saw Sarai as being that valuable. And God said to you and me in the spiritual realm, we are that valuable to him. Hallelujah. This is why we can't settle. This is why you should never lower your standard. This is why you should not compromise. I don't care how desperate the situation gets. I don't care how lonely we get. I don't care what other people are doing. You are valuable. You're a diamond. You're a pearl. You're precious in the sight of Almighty God. Abraham became rich just in this moment, just because Pharaoh thought Sarai was worth that price. They could have killed Abraham, and that's what he thought. That's why he told his wife to lie. They're going to kill me because Pharaoh always takes the pretty women into his harem. But watch verse number 17 as we continue to read. And the Lord plagued Pharaoh in his house with great plagues because of Sarai, Abram's wife. And Pharaoh called Abram and said, what is this that thou hast done unto me? Why didst thou not tell me that she was your wife? Why say thou she is my sister? So I might have taken her to me to wife. Now therefore, behold thy wife, take her and go your way. And Pharaoh commanded his men concerning him, and they sent him away and his wife and all that he had. My God, my God, my God. When you let go and let God, see, people would have looked at the famine. They would have said, why would God send us out here in the dry land? Why would God send us out here in the midst of a famine? God knew that this land would dry up. God knew that we would be thirsty and hungry. God knew that a famine was in the land. Why would he tell me to leave my mother's and father's house and go into somewhere where there are no resources, somewhere where we can fall dead and die from the heat? Why would God do that to me? God never sets us up. God sets us up to succeed, not to fail. That's the God that we serve. So even when things go from bad to worse, know that God is up to something. Hallelujah. Don't get discouraged. Don't be dismayed. Don't throw in the towel. God will work it out. God will work it through. God will give you a blessing in the middle of it. That's the God that we serve. So when you let go and let God, it's not easy because a famine may come. Trials and tribulations may come, but God will bring you more than what you can handle. Hallelujah. Speaking of famines, let's look at Genesis 26. Genesis 26. This is Isaac now, the son of Abram. Isaac, Genesis 26, verse 1 and 2. Because sometimes when there's a famine, when there's a recession, when there's a depression, when things are going on in the culture, in the country, sometimes that doesn't pertain to the Christian, the believer. God will provide for us. God will take care of you. God will do the impossible in and through your life. God is a provider. God is a keeper. That's the God that we serve. I didn't go there, but in Genesis 22, he said to Abraham, give me your son, your only son, and bring him up to a mountain to sacrifice him. And Abraham was obedient. He was still letting go and letting God. And then as he began to slew his son Isaac, God called out and said, Abraham, Abraham. He said, here I am. He said, lay not a finger on your son. And he looked up and he saw a ram in the bush. Hallelujah. And God is saying to us tonight, when we obey him, when we line up with his will, there's success, there is victory, there is prosperity on this road if we just keep moving forward by faith. Let's watch what happens in the life of, as a matter of fact, keep your finger or put a mark in Genesis 26, because I need us to see this in Genesis 22. I was just paraphrasing some of it, but I want us to read this, why Abraham was so blessed by God. Right here, Genesis 15 to 18. Because Abram and Sarai were human beings, and they were human beings. God knows that sometimes doubt and unbelief tries to come in. He knows sometimes that fear will try to come in. God knows that sometimes we get in our own way. But listen to the promise that he gave to Abram. I know this is not us, but we are the seeds of Abraham. Hallelujah. That's why when we go to read what happened in the life of Abraham, we're not Jewish. We're not Jews. We are the Gentiles. But to Abraham's seed, his offspring, we are the spiritual offspring. We are the spiritual seed of Abram and Abraham. And that's why we are the descendants of Abram. That's why when somebody says the blessings of Abraham are on your life, that's what they're talking about. So as we're reading this, this does pertain to us. Genesis 22:15 says this. And the angel of the Lord called unto Abraham out of heaven the second time and said, by myself I have sworn, my God, saith the Lord, for because thou hast done this thing and hast not withheld thy son, thy only son, that in blessing I will bless thee, and in multiplying I will multiply thy seed, that's you and me, and as the stars of the heaven, and as the sand which is upon the seashore, and thy seed, that's you and me, shall prosper and possess the gates of thine enemies. God is saying, we are the seeds of Abraham. He said, I'm going to multiply you and multiply you. I'm going to prosper you and prosper you. I'm going to bless you and bless you. I receive it, God. I receive it by faith. In the name of Jesus, my heart is open. My spirit is open. I pray, I'm talking to somebody that's saying it to the heavens. I receive it, God. Give me whatever you need to give me. Overwhelm me with your goodness. Hallelujah. Thank you, God. Overwhelm me with your loving kindness. Rain down blessings from that open heaven in the name of Jesus. He said, I'm going to do this through your seed. That's you and me, beloved. Hallelujah. Oh, I'm getting happy about this word. As we let go and let God, it's to benefit us. It's not to make us suffer. It's not to remove our security blanket. It's not to just leave us out here in blind faith. But God is saying, I need you to trust me more. I need you to depend on me more. I need y'all to come to me more. Hallelujah. I need you to trust me even all the more. As you see the day approaching, God is saying, get closer to me. Draw near to God, and God will draw near to you. And that's what you're doing. But when you come to Bible study, that's what you're doing. Please hear God in the Spirit. When you come to Bible study, when you open up the Word, when you pull up your app on your phone, when you pray to God, when you give God praise, say, hallelujah, thank you, Jesus, that's you drawing near to God. There's some people go throughout their day, their week, their year, and do not acknowledge God. But you are one who came to this Bible study, who comes to prayer, who comes to church, who reads the Word, who tithes, who gives, who serves. That's drawing near to God. And that means God draws near to you. As you make your way to Him and the things that He's concerned about, God is making His way towards you. My God. Let's look at this Genesis 26, because sometimes when there's lack of resources, there are things not going the way we planned, we sometimes wonder how God going to do what He's going to do. But let's look at another person that's now the son of Abraham, Isaac, and God has given him instruction as well. And there was a famine in the land besides the first famine that was in the days of Abraham. That's the one we just read about in Genesis 12. And Isaac went unto Abimelech, the king of the Philistines, unto Gerar. And the Lord appeared unto him and said, go down into Egypt. Now he said, okay, let me read that again. Let me read that again. And the Lord appeared unto him and said, go not down into Egypt. Remember, Abraham went into Egypt. He told Isaac, don't go down into Egypt. Dwell in the land which I shall tell thee of. Sojourn in this land, and I will be with you, and I will bless you. For unto you and unto your seed I will give these countries, and I will perform the oath which I swore unto your father Abraham, and I will make thy seed to multiply as the stars of the heaven. He's rehearsing what he said to Isaac's father. But look at verse number, glory be to God, verse number 12. Then Isaac sowed in that land. It's a famine. Are y'all hearing me? He sowed in that land. He sowed seed in that land. He planted even though the ground was dry. There was no water. And received in the same year 100-fold. And the Lord blessed him. Glory be to God. Isaac sowed in a land that was famine, and the Bible says he still produced 100-fold crop. All things are possible with God. He obeyed God. It didn't make sense to the natural mind. That's why I had to read Proverbs chapter number 3. Lean not into your own understanding. Your father went down to Egypt because Egypt had a lot of resources. They had extra water. They had extra food. They had extra resources. Egypt was the place to go when there was a famine because they was well prepared. But God told Isaac, don't go. Don't lean on the arm of flesh. Don't go to man for this one. I'm going to bless you. My God, help me, Jesus. I'm going to bless you. If you trust me and not man, I'm going to bless you. And God is saying that to somebody tonight. I'm going to bless you. God is going to bless you beyond your wildest imagination. Amen. Hallelujah. You know, we talked about it last night in the days of Moses, in the days of Abraham. As you read Abraham, as you read about Jacob, as you read about Isaac, they had to build an altar. They always made an altar when they had an encounter with God. And God told me, even in my notes as I'm looking down, we always have an altar available. My God. We can pray to God anytime. Since Jesus came and died and was buried and rose on the third day with all power in his hand, we can pray no matter what situation that we're in. No matter where we are, we can build the altar. Glory be to God. You can be away. You can be home. You can be at work. You can be in your car. And there can be an altar right there as you pray to God. As you call on the name of the Lord. God is there for you. He's accessible 24/7. And he's telling us, through the life of Isaac, through the life of Abraham, through the life of Jacob, I'm no respecter of persons. I'm going to bless you. Thank you, God. Let's look at another story of somebody letting go and letting God, found in 2 Kings chapter number 4. 2 Kings chapter number 4. I pray this is blessing somebody tonight because it's not always easy. We can't figure God out. Sometimes his ways are higher than our ways. His thoughts are higher than our thoughts. We sometimes don't understand what he's up to. We don't get the big picture. Sometimes it's going to happen next month. It's going to happen next year. It's going to happen 5 years from now. I'll never forget my wife leaving Merrill Lynch. One of the hardest decisions we made as a family. She worked there for almost 20 years. We were making significant money. And this was going to be something significant that we was going to lose in the area of finances. But we had Kayla, a lot of things were happening in her career, and we made a decision to, you know, she stepped out, she began to do entrepreneur ventures, she began to work from home, doing a lot of different things, but it was not the same money that it was at Merrill Lynch. And as we stepped out on faith, our kids were small, they were in high school, they were in grammar school, but now that we look back, glory be to God. Thank you, Jesus. Now that we look back at them tough seasons, see, we tell y'all about how we got the house with bad credit. How my wife said, I don't know who's going to give us this mortgage, but I believe by faith, because we already started turning our credit around, I believe by faith that someone's going to bless us with a mortgage and we're going to close on a home. And short, long story short, we got a loan from Wells Fargo. We got a loan from that mortgage company. We got the house of our dreams. But guess what? Getting the house was a miracle. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. But keeping a house for the last 21 years, come on, somebody, was even a bigger miracle. Thank you, Jesus. I said she left a significant income. I said there were many times in those 21 years, several times, I'm not going to say many, but times they threatened to foreclose. Y'all remember Fannie Mae and predatory lenders and that season where a lot of people were losing their homes. Glory be to God. And a lot of people were being evicted and being foreclosed on. Y'all remember that season, hallelujah, where they were giving people mortgages that was not qualified, and they were taking advantage of people that did not have the right income to sustain these homes. And I'll never forget, hallelujah, God always made a way. Come on, people of God. My wife can testify. We had some close calls, but God always made a way. And I thank God that our children, even Kayla, she's excelling down there at Rutgers, making a dean's list and looking toward her teaching career and looking toward her future and getting those degrees that she wants. But I thank God, hallelujah, as my wife worked from home, our kids got a quality education. And I thank God that we were there to raise them and be there to overlook certain things. And I thank God, I know that's not for everybody, but I'm just trying to make the point that we stepped out on faith. That means we had to let go and let God. Because at the same time, some of our friends had two incomes, and they were buying 20,000, 30,000 square foot homes, and they were buying new cars and motorcycles and BMWs. And we looking, and we had a nice house, we had nice things, but guess what? We didn't have that kind of income, but God knew what he was doing. And that's what God is saying to somebody tonight. When you let go and let God, you may have to downsize a little bit. You may have to budget more. You may have to cut your spending. You may have to rethink how you spend your money. You may have to take on another job sometimes. Whatever it takes to stay in the will of God, God will do it. And let's look at this widow in 2 Kings chapter number 4. Thank you, Jesus. As we continue to talk about letting go and letting God. Hallelujah. Obedience leads to overflow. My obedience and your obedience leads to overflow. And we thank God for that. Now there cried a certain woman of the wives of the sons of the prophets unto Elisha, saying, "Thy servant, my husband, is dead, and thou know that thy servant did fear the Lord. And the creditors is come now to take my two sons into slavery or bondmen." And Elisha said unto her, "What shall I do for thee? Tell me, what have thou in the house?" And she said, "Thy handmaid has not anything in the house except a pot of oil." Then he said, "Go, borrow thee vessels abroad of all thy neighbors, even empty vessels. Borrow not a few. And when thou art come in, thou shalt shut the door upon thee and upon thy sons. And thou shalt pour out into all these vessels, and thou shalt set aside that which is full." So she went from him, shut the door upon her sons, who brought the vessels to her, and she poured out. And it came to pass, when the vessels were all full, that she said unto her son, "Bring me yet another vessel." And he said unto her, "There is not any more vessels." And the oil stopped. Then she came and told the man of God, and he said, "Go, sell the oil, pay your debt, and live you and your sons off the rest." Glory be to God. Letting go and letting God. This woman, hallelujah, had to even let go of what she thought, how this man was going to bless her. Her and her sons, it was a collective effort of this family. She listened to the prophet of God. She said, "I don't have anything except a pot of oil in my house." And God is saying to somebody tonight, everything you need is already in your house. My God. You got a typewriter, you got a keyboard, you got a research at your laptop, you got, hallelujah, a resume you can put online, glory be to God. You got things you can Google and research, you got jobs you can put your resume out there, hallelujah, thank you, God. You got everything you need in your house pertaining to holiness and godliness. She thought it was insignificant. She thought it was small. How can a little pot of oil keep them from coming and taking my sons and making them slaves? How could a little pot of oil get me out of this predicament? He said, go and borrow jars. Go and borrow vessels. Don't get a few. Don't get a couple. Get a whole lot. Go to the neighborhood. Go to all of your friends. Talk to the stranger. Get these vessels. Make sure they're empty. And when you get back, you and your sons shut the door. My God. Sometimes letting go and letting God involves shutting the door. Hallelujah. Shutting the door. Certain people are still around. Certain people, hallelujah, they may be a hindrance. You know better than I know if they're a hindrance. I don't know. Maybe you know they are, and you still keep them and keep them around. And God is saying, no, I need you to shut the door on some things. I need you to close this door. I don't need you to go back. I need you to go forward. Hallelujah. And when you let go and let me, you're going to be like this Shunammite woman. You're going to be like this woman, hallelujah, her husband served God. And the Bible says they shut the door and they begin to pour the oil. And they begin to pour the oil. And they begin to pour the oil. And all these vessels, you know it was a lot because he told her, sell, pay your debt, and go live off the rest. Glory be to God. So her whole house became an oil factory. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Became an oil store. Hallelujah. Thank you, God. Olive oil. Oh, glory be to God. The oil didn't stop until the vessels were all full. And that's what God is saying to us tonight. Come to him empty and let him fill you up. Hallelujah. I don't know who that's for right there. We got to come to God empty. Lord, fill me up again. Lord, refill me. Lord, refresh me. Lord, renew me. Lord, revive me. Lord, restore me. Hallelujah. Because this world can be draining. Oh, glory. This world can be so draining, so exhausting. Hallelujah. I know I'm not by myself. Sometimes we get weary. Sometimes we get tired. Sometimes we get exhausted. Sometimes we get overwhelmed. That's when you got to go to God. That's when you got to say, Lord, fill me up again. Lord, come into my life again. Lord, touch me with the fire of the Lord again. And God will do it. God will do it. That's why it says, be not weary in well doing, because in due season you will reap if you faint not. And God is saying to us tonight, as we let go, as we submit, as we surrender, as we give up our will for his will. Jesus said, nevertheless, not thine will, but your will be done. Even when Jesus sent the disciples out, they had a choice, letting go and letting God. Let's see that. Let's see that. Because some people think we got to kind of have it hard today. But let's look at the challenges that they had in the days of Jesus. Look at Luke chapter number 10. The disciples, talk about the 12, talk about the 70. Let's look at this. Let's look at this very quickly. Matter of fact, I want to look at both of them because one talks about the 12 and the other talks about the 70. But they were all disciples. Amen. And let's look at what involved in their day about letting go and letting God. They had to let go of some things. Some of them were Jews. Some of them were Gentiles. Some of them were had different careers. They were the tax collectors. They were the fishermen. Some of them were scholars. But these 12 and these 70s, all walks of life. And let's see how Jesus ministers to them and gives them a command and how they had to let go and let God. First, in chapter number 9, he's talking to the 12 here. Listen, chapter 9, verse number 1. Then he called the 12, Peter, James, and John. Y'all know the 12. He called the 12 disciples together, and he gave them power and authority over all devils and to cure all diseases. And he sent them to preach the kingdom of God and to heal the sick. And he said unto them, take nothing for your journey. I'm going to stop right there. Wait a minute, Jesus. Wait a minute. Talk about letting go and letting God. Okay, you give us power to cast out devils and to cure and to heal diseases. Then you tell us to preach the kingdom of God and lay hands on the sick and they will recover. And then you give us instruction, don't take any money for the journey. That was a tall order. Amen? Let's keep reading a little bit more. Look at verse number 4. And whatsoever house you enter into, there abide, and thence depart. And whosoever will not receive you, when you go out of that city, shake off the very dust from your feet for a testimony against them. When we let go and let God, what's down the road sometimes is not pleasant. Everyone's not going to receive us. We got to tell the truth and shame the devil. Everyone's not going to try to help us. Everybody is not going to get with our Jesus agenda. But if God be for you, I said, if God be for you, if God be with you, it's going to be all right. Anytime I go out and I pass out cards or flyers or I go out to the community or I try to put out some literature on a church or we go out as a team, we pray. And everybody knocking on doors, whether I just put it in their mailbox, whether I, you know, try to hand it to somebody on the street, everybody don't take the card. Sometimes they say no thank you. Sometimes I'm walking back from the area that I ministered in and I'll see it on the ground. I can't get discouraged that they didn't receive it. I just got to say, God, thank you for the opportunity to try. Thank you for the opportunity to try to witness and be out here trying to invite people to the church, trying to talk to people about God, trying to get and be a witness for the kingdom. He says, shake the dust off if they don't receive you. Because that's the reality. Everyone's not going to receive us. But a lot of people will if you have faith, if you believe by faith and walk not by sight. God will bless you. God will favor you. God will honor you. Now let's look at, I want to look at some more there, but I'm not, because I'm going to get over to number 10, chapter number 10. We're in Luke chapter number 10 now. Let's see how they let go and let God. The first was the 12. They began to preach the kingdom of God. They did lay hands on the sick, and they did recover. They did cure diseases, and they began to preach the kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of God. That was the 12 apostles, 12 disciples. Now let's look at Luke chapter number 10, verse number 1. After these, meaning after chapter number 9, matter of fact, back up, oh my God, back up to Luke 9, and then we're going to go right into chapter number 10. But look at the last verse. In Luke chapter number 9, look at the last verse, verse number 62. And Jesus said unto him, no man, having put in his hands to the plow and looking back, is fit for the kingdom of God. That's what he's saying about letting go and letting God. When we hold our hand to the plow, the harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. There may not be a lot of people on this agenda. The laborers are few. Hallelujah. And that doesn't matter to God. If you say yes, if I say yes, and we put our efforts together, hallelujah, one can send 1,000 to flight. Come on, people of God. Two can send 10,000. We can do so much together. And Jesus was saying to them, wow, don't put your hand to this plow and look back, because there's such a harvest that I need you to reap. There's such a crop that I need you to bring into my barn house. Luke chapter number 10, verse number 1. After these things, the Lord appointed other 70 also. And he sent them, now he sent them differently. He sent them two by two before his face into every city and every place wherever they should come. Therefore, he said unto them, the harvest is truly great, but the laborers are few. Pray you, therefore, the Lord of the harvest, that he would send laborers into the harvest. Go your way. Behold, I send you forth as lambs among wolves. Whoa. Now, that's letting go and letting God. Jesus, I know you're not a liar, and you're giving us a metaphor. You're giving us an example of us being like lambs going out there among wolves. So we got to let go of our fear and let go and grab onto our faith, because a lamb don't have a chance against a wolf but to be eaten up. But Jesus was telling them, I'm going to protect you. I'm going to keep you. I'm going to guard you. Now let's look at this. As they let go and let God, let's see the results they got in verse number 17. Back up to verse number 16. He that hear you, hear me. And he that despise you, despise me. Verse number 17. And the 70 returned again with joy, saying, Lord, even the devils are subject unto us through thy name. And he said unto them, I beheld Satan. Jesus said, I witnessed this. I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven. Behold, I've given to you power to tread on serpents and scorpions, and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. Notwithstanding in this, rejoice not, but that the spirits are subject to you, but rather rejoice, because your name is written in heaven. My God. He said, yes, you're going to cast out some demons. Yes, you're going to remove some devils. Yes, you're going to perform some miracles. Yes, you're going to avoid hurt, because by any means, nothing will hurt you. I have given you power over the power of the enemy. But he said, even in all of that, in comparison, that does not compare. I need you not to rejoice in that, but I need you to rejoice that your name is already up in heaven. Hallelujah. Your name is already written up there in glory. If you are a Christian, if I'm talking to you tonight, if you confess with your mouth and you believe in your heart that Jesus is Lord, the Son of the living God, the Bible says your name is already written in heaven. Hallelujah. Anthony Simmons, Rebecca Simmons, hallelujah, already there. Call out your name. Glory be to God. It's already written up there, and can't nobody do nothing about it. He says, I'm going to build a place for you. In my Father's house, there are many mansions. Glory be to God. And where I am, there you will be also. Hallelujah. Thank you, God. And God is saying to us, if we believe this word, we too will cast out some devils. We too will remove some demons. We too will perform miracles. We too will heal the sick and save those and cure those of diseases. We too will prosper. Hallelujah. We too will witness a demonstration of the power of God. Letting go and letting God. Lean not into your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge me, and I will direct your path. One more scripture tonight, and we're going to stop. First Luke chapter 5. If you're still in Luke, back up to chapter number 5. We looked at 9 and 10. Now let's look at 5. Look at verse number 4. Now when he had left speaking, he said unto Simon, we got started at verse 1. I'm sorry. I need us to see this story. We're going to start at verse 4. Now when he had left speaking, he said unto Simon, launch out into the deep and let down your net for a draught. And Simon answered and said unto him, Master, we have toiled all night and have taken nothing. Nevertheless, at your word, I will let down the net for a catch. Hallelujah. Verse 6, and when they had did this, they enclosed a great multitude of fish, and their nets began to break. That's letting go and letting God, and we're going to stop. Peter could have leaned to his own understanding. Peter could have said, hallelujah, Jesus, I don't think you know, I'm an expert fisherman. But he let go and let God. He said, nevertheless, at your word. And God is saying to you tonight, he already spoke to you, and you got to have that. Nevertheless, Jesus, I don't understand it, but at your word, I'm going to do it. At your word, you already spoke to me. You spoke to my spirit. You were clear in what you said. I was not confused by what you said to me. Hallelujah. And at your word, I'm not going to try to figure it out when you already worked it out. Oh, glory be to God. I'm not going to try to figure this out, and you have already worked it out. So I thank God. As you start letting go and letting God, your ladder will be greater. Father, we thank you for tonight. Continue to bless your people. Continue to keep us, even on this Palm Sunday and 2 weeks away from Easter Sunday. We thank you for this season, this Lenten season, where a lot of people are focused on Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God. So, Lord, we thank you for Christians all over this world. Hallelujah. Who call on the name of Jesus. So continue to bless us even as we come to church on Palm Sunday. Meet us there in Jesus' name. Amen. We'll see you on Sunday. It is Palm Sunday. Try to bring somebody to church with you, and we're going to have a great time in the Lord on Sunday. 12:30 we start, 1482 Maple Avenue in the great city of Hillside, New Jersey. We love you. Good night, everyone. Let go and let God. God bless you.